The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As I mentioned, we continue our discussion of the fruit of the Spirit linked with our Sunday school, and it reminds us of the gifts that extend beyond our own lives, which connect us with others. What I didn't say in the first week when we looked at love is that love is kind of needed by all the other fruit. In small or large ways, love is needed in joy and patience and peace and kindness and generosity, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control as well. Last week, we delved into joy. Joy rooted in gratefulness, because it's not joy that makes us grateful, it's gratitude that makes us joyful. The father of the prodigal son that we read last week experienced joy that was rooted in his gratitude for the renewed relationship with his child. And he was more than happy. Happiness is what we feel when we watch a funny movie. When you leave the theater or shut off Netflix, it sort of goes away pretty quickly. But joy persists in spite of our current condition. Joy gives us the hope to know that the rain is going to pass. One day, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. "Let's cross the lake," he said. And off they went. It was smooth sailing, and he fell asleep. There is absolutely, and maybe I should check that. Anybody feel like it's smooth sailing these days? I had a complete and total statement, so I wanted to check. If anybody's got smooth sailing, I want to see you after church. Sounds like a teacher, but anyway. Too many storms rage, both within us and around us. They're raging upon this planet, pushing people out of doors for things like the global climate strike that took place this last week. And it feels like there's water pouring in and we're about to capsize and drown. And if maybe not just for us, but we think about those most vulnerable, such as those in the Bahamas who find themselves still drowning in destruction from Hurricane Dorian just a month ago. And we have climate activists like Autumn Pelletier and Greta Thunberg being told just to calm down. Go outside and play like other kids, because the grown-ups are in charge. It's no mistake that they look at us and think that we're asleep in the back of the boat. Getting to his feet, Jesus told the wind, "Silence!" And the waves, "Quiet down." And they did it. And the lake became as smooth as glass. I saw a picture of a road sign this week that oddly captures our reaction to Greta and Autumn and even this scripture. It says, "Never in the history of calm down has anyone calmed down by being told to calm down." I'm not sure what the greater miracle is than in the fact that the storm calmed down or that the disciples did. Though it kind of feels like the disciples just sort of changed their focus from the storm to Christ. In awe, staggering and stammering, they said, "Who is this anyway? He calls to the winds and the sea, and they do what he tells them." If awe is this mixture of fear and wonder, the disciples didn't calm down because their fears didn't dissipate. They merely stood in the fear of the Lord, which older translations would use to describe our relationship to the divine. Because when we hear the fear of the Lord, we attach a modern meaning to it. Like, I'm afraid of heights, she's afraid of spiders, or what have you. And then we start to think about, does God need to be feared? In some sort of ego trip way of puffing God up, making God seem more important? I don't think this grand display of power was to make the disciples afraid. More just Jesus wanted them to turn their focus from the storms that rage to the trust that should persevere throughout the storm. Why can't you trust me? In this beautiful, compassionate voice, Jesus asks his disciples, why can't you trust me? Both acknowledging the storm, but not feeding into the fears.
It just calmed down. I'll try. Where was I? I imagine Jesus with this beautifully compassionate face to saying, just calm down. Why can't you trust me? He could have easily just have said, silence, be quiet. But even Jesus knew in the history of calm down that no one ever calmed down by being told to calm down. In fact, Jesus does something that we all need to emulate. He doesn't yell at the disciples for their lack of faith. He talks to the disciples as if he's talking to their 5-year-old selves. Why can't you trust me? It's okay. It's just thunder. It's just rain. It's just lightning. We don't yell at Anhumea and say, calm down. It's not going to work. We speak with compassion and love. And yet we forget to do that as we grow. When we ourselves get anxious or worried, the voice that kicks in isn't, it's okay. It'll be fine. When I was driving to a wedding yesterday and not believing I had everything I needed in my trunk, I went, oh my goodness! And I had my son dangerously stretch his seatbelt to make sure that everything was in the trunk so he could look over and see that everything is there before the voice of anxiety and fear calmed down within me. If we could just find that same compassion and love when we're talking to ourselves, when we get all worked up, whether we're anxious over the state of the world, whether we're waiting for test results or checks to be cashed or news to come in, if we just spoke to ourselves as if we were talking to our 5-year-old selves with gentleness and love and compassion, it's amazing how peaceful we would be. In fact, in a non-condescending way, if we use the same approach to peace, speaking peacefully to others as if we were speaking to their 5-year-old selves, it would have a profound effect too. Knowing that some 5-year-olds are better at acting than some politicians or people in our lives, but if we spoke in a way that embodied peace, that had little to do with the storm raging in them or us, that rested on trust or compassion or love or gentleness, then the world may truly be a different place, because the storms are going to rage, always and forever. But when we shift our attention from the fearful reactions that we click into almost without thinking, if we shift from fear that paralyzes us to a trust that there will be peace after the rain, then we move to a place of collective hope. That's the most powerful thing about these increasing strikes across the planet, be it for climate awareness or rights and justice or immigration. We refuse, at least the younger generation, refuses to be paralyzed by our problems. There's a trust that is stronger than our fear. There's a belief that things can change, and that trust moves us to hope, and it pushes us out into the streets to protest, to vote in this election season. When we trust and believe that change is possible, that peace is possible, then we are more encouraged and hopeful and motivated. This is the peace we need. peace of mind and heart rooted in this trust, peace that draws focus away from the storms of our lives, peace that knows that there will be time after the rain, that peace of spirit that pushes us forward in our own journeys. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, be yours. And may it guard your hearts and your minds that you may forever know the love of Christ Jesus. Amen.